Thank you, ladies. I really like the words to the songs up on the screen, especially for the specials, because I don't know all those songs, and I like singing. Amen? So I sing over there a little bit. That's a good song. All right, if you have your Bibles to say, we'll get it out. I'm crying. My eyes are running. My nose is running. And my throat's raw. And I found a cigarette butt on the parking lot this morning, and I meant to talk to Wendell about that. And I walked right across. I thought, I've already talked to him before. I'm going to quit throwing those out in the parking lot. Amen. But if you're smoking in the parking lot, please don't throw your cigarette butts out in the parking lot. And I don't think any of y'all are, but it's amazing what people do to church property during the week, you know. Sometimes it'd be just really cool if, you know, like a lightning bolt would, you know, strike and burn somebody's car and all of that, maybe with them in it while they're doing something to church property. And I think if we advertise that, that'd really cut down a lot of vandalism on property, man. But, you know, people love spinning out and all of that and all kinds of things that they do. And throw stuff at our signs and throw trash out there. But it's God's property. He'll take care of it. I'm glad I serve a living God. You know, everybody loves somebody. You know that? Everybody does. And we think about it. And I want to talk to you about the issue of love today. We're all familiar with love in some degree. Everyone in this room has loved and hopefully has been loved. But everyone here probably loves people and things, and I imagine even most of us love God. But sometimes we get a little confused about it. All of our love as humans is really fundamentally flawed because we're sinners. Our sin nature causes our love to be far less than it could be or should be. When you get right down to it, there are only two areas where we actually exercise love. Amor, I'm trying to punch it, but it won't work, so you have to do it for me. Next slide. We either love self or we love God. At the heart of it, that's what this passage today is about. Think about it. Our love for others is really based on some personal benefit. We love others because we receive love in return. Very few people continue to love whenever they don't receive love. Right. Now parents and grandparents will love children and they don't necessarily receive it. But that doesn't work in a marriage relationship a lot of times. It'll come to a point where that thing will separate. It'll break. It'll fall apart. While our love for others may be strong and enduring, in the end we love because there's really probably something in it for ourselves. It hurts a little, but it's true. Even our love for God is always less than it could be or should be in all God's people said. Amen. Our love for Him literally exists because He first loved us. Our love for Him is a direct response of His love for us. My love may be imperfect. Your love may be imperfect, but it's still a powerful motivator. And here's the truth today. I will serve the one I love. I will serve the one I love. We either love self or we love God. The two can't necessarily coexist. We'll lean one way or the other. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If I'm in love with self, everything I do will be designed to benefit self. If I'm in love with God, then that love will motivate me to serve Him. This is the last teaching that Jesus will do in the temple. He's getting ready to leave, but He gives us a tremendous lesson in love today. So, let's start off with verse number 38. The Word of God says, "And He said unto them in His doctrine." The word doctrine there means teaching. But it's teaching from God, so it holds a lot greater standard than man. Well, notice the next word. If you circle words in your Bible, underline words, I would encourage you to circle the word beware. He says beware. Beware is
a warning sign. Beware. Have you ever seen a sign that said, beware of the dog? Saw one the other day. It said, forget the dog, beware of the wife. So that's pretty good. No. Beware. Yeah, amen. That's how Tina says. Every time I say something like that, you'll see Tina do that. You know what that means? I'm digging myself in deep. Amen. I'm digging myself into a hole I can't get out of. Amen. So, yeah, and sometimes you guys wonder how you should respond. Look at her. And it's like some of you should say, amen. Some of you should say, oh, no, it's not good. But, beware! It's the type of word we'd use if we saw a little child running in front of a moving car. It would be a shout of warning. It would be a cry of warning. Jesus simply uses beware. And then notice what he says. Beware of the scribes. The scribes were really doctors of the law. They were the men of the day that interpreted the Word of God for everybody else. Not necessarily the teachers always, but they were kind of behind the scenes. They were a special group. Jesus said, beware of the scribes. And if you remember anything out of chapter number 12, he's had conflicts with all of these guys. We saw last week, Jesus asked a question. He said, who is Jesus to you? So now he's asking the question, and now he's laying out the warnings. The common people are gladly here, and even the disciples are, but he's got a really stern rebuke. No wonder the scribes and the Pharisees and the Herodians wanted to kill him. Because he's standing in the middle of the temple teaching this. He says, beware of the scribes, and now he describes why, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief priests in the synagogues and the upper rooms at the feast, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense. The word pretense means pretending. Pretense. Make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. This is not the lowly, feminine Jesus that many portray him to be. Jesus was a man's man. And I know in our world today that's getting less popular. What do they call it? Toxic masculinity. May we have some men back today. Amen. Train your men, your boys, how to be Christian men. Because they're going to be both one day. Number one. Some people love a fool. Some people love a fool. The word fool is a strong word. Fool is defined as a silly or a stupid person. I think many of them are running our nation. A person who lacks judgment and sense. Definitely. A person who has been tricked or deceived in appearing or acting silly or stupid. I think I fall into that sometimes. So while there are fools and there are empty-headed peoples in this world, we need to be careful whom we attach the label to. Truthfully, I have no right, but God does. Amber, put the verse up there, if you will. God says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable work. There's none that doeth good. Now, I don't know if you guys can see it real well from where you're sitting at, but notice as we go through the verse. Now, the fool has said in his heart, notice the two words, there is. You recognize the words there is are in italics. You understand the King James translators, when they translated the Old Testament, they translated it from Hebrew to English. And in order to make a proper translation, sometimes they would add phrases so that it made sense. But I want you to read the verse with me like this. The fool has said in his heart, no God. Now granted, I think the root principle behind this verse, it deals with the atheist, the person that says, there is no God. But how many of us have said, no God? I guess it'd be better for me to ask this. How many of us have never said no to God? Ouch. The fool has said in his heart, no God.
Can I tell you something? Sometimes I've loved a fool. And a fool is me. The text before us presents two classes of people who are in love with fools. Why do we call them fools? Because they love themselves. How many have ever taken a selfie before? We live in that type of world, don't we? How many of you older people, you think, I've never taken a selfie? Like me. You don't see any selfies of me anywhere. You know why? Because my dad used to tell me several things. He was such a builder-upper in so many ways. I remember one time I told my dad, I said, Dad, I have a headache. He said, boy, with a head like that, it ought to hurt. He said, if it doesn't hurt, we're going to the doctor. He told me one time, he said, Jeff, you're so ugly, you'd make a train take a dirt road. Just kindness flowed out of him. Now, I think he was teasing at that. But for that reason, I don't have any selfie portraits. I don't even have a mirror in my office. And sometimes I think I need one because of my new hairstyle. I actually have to brush it and use hairspray. And it's like, wow, for 50 years of my life, I didn't do that. Sometimes I'm in love with a fool. And that fool is me. Letter A. Let's look at the religious fool. Jesus gives what we'll call a scathing attack. You think, man, that's a great word you came up with. Nah, I borrowed it from somebody. Scathing attack. Here's a good country word. He peels their hide back. Oh no, buddy, he gets on them. Notice again, verse number 38. He says this, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces. By the way, the scribes are standing right there. The long clothing is the long white robes that they wore with long fringes on the bottom. And they were the only ones that wore it. They stuck out like sore thumbs. Everybody knew who they were. They loved that. They loved for everybody to look at them and the salutations. Master, Rabbi, Father, great one. They loved that. They loved the chief seats in the synagogue. The chief seat in the synagogue was a bench that sat in front of the chest that contained the Torah or the law. They were seen as guardians of the law. When you walked in the synagogue, the first person you saw were them. They loved that. It says they loved not only the chief seats, but they loved the uppermost rooms in the feast. When wealthy Jews gave a feast, scribes were often invited because they were the A-list celebrities of the day. They loved that. But then also notice, as Jesus points out, something that most probably didn't know about is, as he talks about, they love their long clothing and their salutations and the chief seats and the uppermost rooms. Everybody was saying, yes, I can see that. The common people were listening. The disciples were learning what kind of men God wanted them to be. Humble men. Then notice what else he says, which devour widows' houses. Scribes were often in the Old Testament estate planners. They could write out a legal document. And more often than not, they would literally convince poor widows that they would be serving God and getting great treasure in heaven if they supported that scribe with their resources. When this happened, the scribe profited, and whatever the husband left for his wife was taken away literally by extortion. And then notice, and it says, for a pretense, make long prayers. They made a show of their religious activities. The scribes loved to stand in public and pray loud and long. How many remember the story of, well, here, let me read it. Thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love standing in the synagogue in the corner of the street, that they may be seen of men. He says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter thy closet, when thou shut thy door,
But then he gives the example of the man that came and knelt down and beat upon his chest. And he said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Well, the hypocrite stood there and said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not as this man is. But notice what Jesus says. He says, beware of them. And then he closes out his judgment on them. He says, these shall receive greater damnation. Wow. You know what it says? They're a fool. They're fools. They have the show. They have the pretense. They have all of the outward appearances. But they're going to receive the greater damnation. What's greater than going to hell? I don't know. These are the kind of people that Jesus refers to whenever he spoke earlier in Matthew. He says, not everyone. He's talking about as he gets into heaven, he's seated at the right hand of the Father there, and the judgment day is coming, which, by the way, that could be as soon as 7 years from now. You say, well, what do you mean? You have to come back on Sunday nights, and you understand all of that. Jesus is coming soon. If not, we ought to live like he is anyways. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Jesus said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, there may be no scribes here today, but if we're not careful, there are some that possess the same attitude. To these men that were scribes, religion was a game. They didn't have a personal relationship with God, but they believed that their good works and their devotion to the law would be enough to save their souls. But the truth of the matter is, they were dead wrong. Religious activities and religions cannot, will not save. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. Sometimes I've been in love with a fool. They were literally in love with themselves, and they had no room for God in their hearts. If you're the kind of fool that says in his heart, there is no God, I will not trust Jesus as my Savior, I will not accept Christ as my Savior. If you're that kind of fool, by the way, that's not verbiage that I'm using only. God uses that. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If you're that kind of fool, here's the truth. If you're in love with yourself, you'll spend eternity with yourself in hell. And that's the greater damnation. And God help us today to be humble servants. May our walk with Him be real. Oh, it needs to show up on the outside, but it needs to show up on the inside first. So let's look at the second kind of fool, the religious fool. And then we'll look at what we have called the rich fool. It says in verse number 41, Jesus sat over against the treasury and noticed the word beheld. He looked. Not just at what they were given, but he looked at the intents of their heart. He looked how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Now, you've got to understand. Amber, let's look at a couple of the slides. Let's pull up the first slide. Let's go backwards in time a little bit, and let's look at the temple grounds. Well, I'm going to give you guys an idea where we're at with all of this today. All right? So, Amber can remember, this is the entire temple grounds, and I don't know if you guys can see this. This is, Amber's working on that. Excellent. Good job. All right, go down a little bit more. Can you see that? There's the size of a football field. And then go over to this area right here, Amber. Excellent. That's how big the temple is compared to a football field. The temple grounds are about 35 acres. Massive. So there were thousands of people. This is Passover week, by the way, that Jesus is doing all this. Thousands of people are milling around. So bring this back down, Amber. And let's look at the whole thing again. This right here is the entire temple grounds. You have the wall around it. And you have the different gates. And this is the temple itself. Next slide, Amber. Just so you guys won't feel left out, we'll look at this one right here. All right? So this right here is called Herod's Temple. This is the temple that was in existence during the time of Jesus. Okay? So remember, this is the part right here that is the actual temple area. Now, inside of this is where the high priest could go once a year. You have the sacrifices and all that were done right here on a regular basis. And outside is what is called the women's courtyard. A woman could not go into here unless she was bringing sacrifice. That was as far as she could go. But the courtyard of the women, or the women's court, is where the offering places were at. Now, the offering places at this time, they looked like a upside-down trumpet. It had a bell on top. When I say a bell, I'm talking about it was wide on the top, and it then went down to a box. And when you threw your money in there, you could hear it rattle around. Have you ever put a quarter in one of those things and saw that thing go round and round and round and round, and then you finally get to the bottom? And that's what this was. The wealthy people would actually sometimes hire trumpeters to go ahead of them and announce that they were coming to give. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the pride in that? That's the scene that's going on now. This is Passover week. Many of the people had held their entire offering for the whole year for this one offering. For Passover week, this is one of the biggest offerings of the year for the Jewish people. And at this time, some of them would bring thousands of dollars. And they would hire people to announce, "Hey, the rich fool is coming." Maybe not that, but his name. Jesus sat over against the treasury and he beheld. He's watching all of this. Could we say that if someone had hired trumpeters, some had held a banner up with the amount that they were giving as they walked through? How many of us would say, that's not really humble giving, is it? Amen? They were in love with themselves. CVS Pharmacy's trying to call me. So here's apparently I have a prescription ready. So, you say, how do you know that? It pops up on my iPad. So do you love God or are you in love with a fool? I'm going to be honest with you. Every one of us have been in love with a fool at different times. You either love self or you love God. Point number two today. Some people love the Father. I like to think that I fall into that camp. This is the camp that I'd like to abide in all of my days. Amen. Jesus beheld. So let's read the rest of the story now. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow. How many of you, whenever you think about a certain poor widow, you think of an elderly lady probably making her way there? How many of you think of somebody? Okay, well, let's pull back on that. Think with me about a young widow with a child in her arms towing another one. It really doesn't matter, but maybe I can help you think a little differently about this. A widow. Back then there was no Social Security. No blanket of security to help. A widow in this day literally lived hand to mouth unless she had family. If her family had all passed away,
She was left to fend for herself. She was poor. We have no idea what poor is in this nation. But Jesus watched this poor, humble widow. So with that in your mind now, it could not just be an elderly lady. It could be a young mother that just lost her husband. No life insurance, no nothing. Just getting started out. Maybe a mortgage, maybe all of those things. There came a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. You say, what is a farthing? I'm glad you asked. It's 1/128th of a day's wages. It's what you and I would make, say on an 8-hour day, it would be what we would make in about 4 minutes. So if you're making $20 an hour, just figure how much is that in 4 minutes. Unless you're like Josh, you work for the railroad, you make $55 an hour. It's easier to figure those bigger numbers, amen? Or $100 an hour on overtime. So 4 minutes is like $14. While he's just scratching his head, he makes $12. He's a wealthy man, him and Jatan. I'm joking, amen? All right. I'm talking about bad Josh, not good Josh. Amen? All right. Good Josh is, well, never mind, when we get there. Amen. Some of you guys are like, who's that? You got to be here. Amen. Just got to be here. Notice what he says now. He called unto him his disciples and saith to them, verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Let her aim her. You see the evidence of this love. Two mites. She didn't have much to give, but she gave anyway. You know what she is? She's a living, breathing example of, go back with me in your Bible and look at it with me in verse number 29 of the same chapter. This lady's a living, breathing example of this. The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Look at verse number 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? With all thy what? Heart. That's where it always begins. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. I present to you, this widow is living, breathing evidence of this verse right here. She loved God. Literally, with all of her heart. She gave because she loved God. She gave because gave her little because she had given her everything before that. See, it's not presented in the scripture here, but if this lady was giving her all in that offering, she had already given her all of her life before that. This is not a message about giving. This is a message about love for God. See the extravagance of this gift. Jesus said, they cast in of her of their abundance, but she cast in all that she had. Let her be, Amber. The Bible is full of extravagant giving. I was thinking about this last week. Abraham. God said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice who? Your son. Abraham said, okay. You know what he said? He didn't say, no, God. He wasn't a fool. He said, yes. Hannah went to the temple over and over again and said, God, give me a son. If you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. It became Samuel, the greatest of the priests, the prophets. But she gave everything. There was a widow lady, another widow lady, that was in a heathen land, and Elijah appeared on her doorstep. And she was picking up some sticks to prepare her and her son's very last meal. And Elijah, stranger to her, said, hey,
Before you cook for yourself, will you make me a meal? And the lady said, buddy, I don't have enough for even me. And I don't even know who you are. But in just a moment, God revealed to her who he was. And you know what she did? She gave everything. It's not about giving. It's about our heart. And we could go through the New Testament. We could see as Mary broke up a very expensive box of ointment and poured it on Jesus. Extravagant giving. We could see that James and Peter and the others gave their lives. Why did they do that? Because they love God more than they love themselves. Lastly today, I want you to see with me, I want you to think with me the extent of her giving. Those others came and they gave and they walked away. How many in this room have been encouraged at some point in your life because of what this widow lady did, her example? How many of you have thought about that before in your life? You thought, you know what? Her life encourages me. Can I tell you, those two mites are mighty in the hand of God. God has taken those two mites that little widow lady gave. And for 2,000 plus years, those two mites have impacted millions of people. Whenever you and I give our lives to God, when we love God and not self, it will be amazing what the extent of that could be. That day, that lady walked into the temple. Maybe she was an elderly lady, and she was stooped over after all the years, and she dropped in those two small coins. They didn't even rattle in the container. They were just pieces of copper so thin that literally they could just be bent and broken with no problem. My microphone's coming off again. It's driving me crazy. Or she could have been a young widow with a baby in her arms that was crying and bawling and another kid walking behind crying and bawling, which kids are always good at doing that. And she had to fight with them. And can you imagine the exasperation and maybe the grief because of her husband was gone, but she still loved God and all she had was that. And she gave. The rich gave, they received applause and they walked away. The poor widow gave and walked away, but her gift is still giving today. It's not about what you give. It's about why. The Apostle Paul says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Every man, according to as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That lady was saying so many things that day. She said, I trust him. I have faith in God. I trust God. I love God. I'm thankful for what God's done in my life. God doesn't want our money. God wants us. The real point of this story has nothing to do with giving. The real point of this has to do with love. The question we face today is this. Last line, Amber. Who do I really love? Everybody loves somebody. Maybe God spoke in your heart today. Maybe you've seen that you're in love with self. And you feel a
pull to fall in love with Him all over again. I do. I feel that pull regularly. Because the pull of the world and the flesh and the devil is for me to love self. To love me. The pull of the Holy Spirit and the pull of God is to love Him. I feel that tug regularly. May we take steps in that direction regularly. Maybe God's spoken to you about your giving. He said, I can't afford to give. It's not about that. The question is, do you trust Him? Do you have faith in Him? Do you love Him? If we give Him our heart, if we give Him our love, everything else will fall. It's got to start there. Maybe someone here today, you want to give Him the greatest gift that you can. That's you. That's your soul. Maybe you're here this morning. No one's ever taken a Bible, opened it up, and shown you how to go to heaven. Today could be that day. Maybe you're a Christian here today. And your love for Him is just not what it ought to be. It's waned. You sense in your heart that you love self. Today's a good day to get that right. Who do I really love? By the way, your actions will prove who you love. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.